Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. And there's no better time to score big savings on unforgettable gifts. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, welcome to Power Talk, and on this episode of Power Talk, I am joined by Josh and Pyra of Paranormality UK podcast. So without further ado, let me bring them in, and we're going to get this show on the road. Hi Pyra, how are you, mate?
Hi Raven, very well, thank you, and well done for pronouncing our podcast name. It can really have a tongue twister.
So I got you on because, of course, you know, you're on my podcast list, and I thought, well, going to get these two on because you're a bit different. Your show is a little bit different than the normal sort of what I would call paranormal show, because you kind of cover a lot of different things, don't you?
Yeah, it is a little bit different. We actually thrive on that. Because so many people in the podcast, and not like yourself, but some of the podcasts out there, they try to make things creepy. They add sound effects, and you know, they want it to be all spooky. We kind of went completely the other way, and we thought, well, we're just a couple of funny guys, so we're just going to be ourselves and talk about these things, the paranormal and just mysteries in general. We cover quite a wide range of, like, a variety of subjects. Anything that's a mystery and interesting is open to us, and we just debate it, and then at the end of the episode, we always rate it on our little paranormality scale, and we just basically say whether it's believable or not. In our opinion.
So basically, you and Josh, you do your thing. How did it come about? Were your pals in real life, or did you sort of meet up one day in a pub and say, let's talk about ghosts? How did that work?
We've actually been friends and work colleagues for a few years.
7 years.
And it actually started because we were watching ghost videos and things on our phone at lunchtimes, and just laughing and joking about them, and some of them were a bit creepy, but others were kind of hoaxes.
I'd debunk them, wouldn't I?
Yeah. And so we just kind of always got on really well and just liked spooky stuff and horror movies and things. And then we just kind of, I think it was you mentioned, it's like, oh, we should do a podcast.
Well, you kept going on about these podcasts that you were listening to, and all the things that you learned on them and stuff like that. And I was like, well, what actually is a podcast? Because I'd never really heard of them apart from, like, edited down radio shows. And so you played me one, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, it is pretty much just like a radio show, just people talking, but, you know, no music. And I said, well, we could do that. And, yeah, so we went back to my place. I got an old... a music studio set up from bands that I used to be in. Mm-hmm. I said, I got the equipment, we'll give it a go. We did it. We were talking for 5 minutes, and then we looked at the timer, it was actually 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And we just started from there. That was our episode one, and we thought, well, yeah, we can do this.
Yeah,
so we had a go.
It's been every week for a while now.
2 years, just over 2 years. Yeah.
Did you have like an idea in your head before you know, hit the record button and said, we're going to start, we're going to be podcasters, Did you have like an idea in your head, we're going to do this or we're going to do that? Or was it just like, let's just talk about stuff and see what we find interesting?
It was a hobby, wasn't it? It started off as like a hobby.
Yeah, hobby. But I think what it means is we always, like, each, we take it in turns each week to make a presentation. Yep. So, and we'll decide on a subject beforehand, whether that's like the pyramids or a specific ghost or a specific UFO sighting. And we'll just, the one person will present that, the facts as we can find them on the internet, to the other. We'll make a few jokes, have a few laughs, and then, like I say, at the end of the episode, we'll just rate it on how believable we think it is, and that's pretty much our format.
Do you think that do you think the podcasting sphere for, you know, all things spooky and paranormal, do you think it's getting a bit like saturated, or do you find that, you know, it's kind of like it's just do your own thing and kind of, you know, do you have a sort of, do you look at sort of what people are doing and think, oh, I better not do that because that's a bit same? Or, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
Ah, I'll tell you what I feel like.
Yeah, great.
I don't think so. I think we started off just kind of being ourselves and doing our own thing.
Yeah.
And then admittedly, we tried a couple things in like the first year from seeing other podcasts doing it similarly. And it just didn't work for us. We really thought it's just not us. So we went back to just us being mates and having a bit of banter and trying to make each other laugh and things. And we just found that format worked for us. But personally, I'm not too on the ball with what other podcasts are doing. I just think we kind of focus
in
on
the paranormal. You're a big listener to podcasts, but not so much the paranormal ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll keep an eye on like Reddit and stuff like that. And I think on the whole, podcasting is getting huge. And a lot of people are saying that it is saturated or oversaturated. I think as long as people just, like us, do their own thing, like you do, Reeves, you know, and do your own thing and present it in your own way, and you can find an audience as long as you're doing a good job at it, I think. And I don't think there's anything wrong with new podcasts coming along, trying something different.
So you do your podcast and stuff, and you have an interest in the paranormal and mysteries and just weird stuff. Either of you, have you ever had anything weird happen to you?
Yeah, you go first.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. I kind of grew up in a haunted house, so it's always been sort of there for me. My family are kind of sensitive to these sort of things. And when I say I grew up in a haunted house, I mean like the full-on poltergeist activity.
Right.
Like, as kids, we were scared to go to bed at night. You'd just pull the duvet over your head, face the wall, and that was it.
Blimey. It's a bit intense.
Yeah, yeah. There's a story that I could tell you about, because my dad never really believed in it. He was always very stoic, and he was always like, it's a load of nonsense. Until all of us, I've got two brothers and a sister, and my mum and dad were married up until my mum's death about 3 years ago. When I was little, I can remember sitting in the living room at home. We all knew the place was haunted. Dad was, like I say, didn't sort of believe in it until this one night, sat in the living room watching TV, and this was back in the 1980s, so we normally would have an open coal fire. But Dad had bought one of those. You remember the old electric fires with the red glowing
strip? Oh yes, oh yes,
yeah. And he bought one of those, and I think it got three or four of these red glowing strips going across it. Really, really heavy. I couldn't lift it at the time, being, you know, less than 10 years old. It took my dad two hands to lift it. The dogs like lay in front of the fire, panting away. We're all watching TV. No one's particularly paying attention, and the one side of the fire literally just slid out 6 inches as though it was trying to walk itself away from the fireplace.
Blimey.
And the dog shot up out of the room, didn't want to come back in for 10 minutes, and that was literally the first time that Dad sort of went, okay, I can't explain that, maybe there is something in this. And we were all like, yeah, see, told you we got a ghost.
Did you, was there any history? Do you think what was it, like, you know, was it an angry old lady, or what? Did you get any sort of idea of what it might have been?
We did look into it, and I don't know how true this story is because I was only young when it was told to me. But where my house was built was on the edge of town, sort of a newish sort of housing estate that had been built in sort of the 1970s. This was in the 80s that we lived there. And I was told that our house and the house next door was built on the site of an old barn. And the farmer that, or there was two brothers that owned the farm that the barn was on. One brother was married and the other brother was sleeping with his wife. And when he found out about this affair, apparently he killed his brother by stabbing him with a pitchfork in the barn. Now, I can't say how much exact truth there is in that, because I've never actually historically, you know, gone through the history book,
yeah,
get up for myself. But that was the story that I was told, and it was quite an angry spirit, so I've just been quite happy to believe it ever since.
How long did this go on for? Was it sporadic or...?
Sporadic mostly. To be honest, most of the time it would steal your keys. If mum and dad would come in from picking us up from school, or, you know, dad would come in from work, they put their keys on the mantelpiece or hang them up on the hook in the hall behind the door, and then they'd go to fetch it later and the keys had disappeared. They'd find them all over the place. The weirdest one, my sister had the house keys at one point, and she came home and she says that she diligently hung them up on the hook in the hall. Mum and dad went to get them. They weren't there. And this was around about the time, in like the 1980s. Do you remember when gas central heating started becoming a thing?
Oh, yeah. I remember having it fitted in our house, and it was like, it was basically a cross between witchcraft and magic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the gas board digging up pavements left, right, and centre. They're coming in your house, fitting gas boilers in there, and installing radiators and all that sort of thing. And when the gas man came to our house, he took up the floorboards to run the pipes through and found the keys under the floorboards in my mum and dad's bedroom. How the hell they got there?
It's kind of like a little bit kind of poltergeisty, really, but kind of going on for that long, it's, you know, poltergeist infestations only last a little while, maybe a year or two tops, but 15 years, it's kind of like, you know, you got yourself a cheeky ghost who's like, I'm just gonna mess with him. I'm gonna take his keys and I'm gonna put them under the floorboards, and you can get stuffed.
Kind of malicious in a way, but it wasn't constant. You know, like a lot of poltergeists, like you say, it can build up over a period of months and just get worse and worse and worse, and then suddenly it's gone.
Yeah,
this was like for years, but you might not have anything happen for like 3 or 4 months, and then suddenly, oh, the manhole cover outside the living room windows started making a noise at 8:30 every night, as though someone's stamping on it.
Did you have any neighbours that, you know, next door or whatever, that complained of stuff, or was it just an isolated sort of your house?
We had neighbours, but no one ever sort of mentioned to us that they'd had stuff happen in their house. No.
Oh, it's weird. I mean, I've known of people to have things happen in their house, and to be in like a semi-detached house, and for our non-English listeners, when I say semi-detached, I mean, we over here, it's kind of common for our houses to be connected together, so that, you know, you've got us and then next door, and so it's a semi-detached, two houses split down the middle. But the thing is I you know, you get one house and you get stuff going on, and sometimes it spills over to sort of next door, and then they have stuff going on as well. So it's interesting that it was isolated to your house. So maybe, as you say, maybe it was connected. It could have been, you know, I mean, how many children were there? I mean, you and how many others?
There were four of us.
Four. So that's, you know.
Two brothers and a sister. Yeah.
Yes. And what was the age group? What was the ages of them?
I was the youngest, and my oldest brother is approximately 9 years older than I am.
So he's at the age
that I was when I'm talking about. I was about 5 years old when we moved in there, and I moved out at around about 18, 19 years old.
Interesting. And what about you, Josh? Any weirdness in your life?
Yeah, I've had a couple things, but the one for me that kind of lingers is when me and my best mate Louis, we were coming back from a party, and it was like maybe 1 a.m. and where we were heading back to the town that we live in, there's like a really sharp bend, and there's one solid tree and then a couple of houses.
Uh-huh.
So as we've come round the corner onto the sharp bend, I've had my full beams on because it's 1 a.m. and we've both seen what looked like an old man on like an old bike. And I can only describe it as everything was almost like a shade of brown. And he had like I wouldn't say a top hat, wouldn't say a bowler hat, but maybe in between, like a nice kind of pork pie hat, I suppose, in a way.
Right.
Something like that.
But everything was like a shade of brown. But there was no high vis, no anything. He had a full kind of brown suit, some nice dress shoes, old rusty bike. So as we've both seen him coming around this corner, I've dipped my full beams and slowed down and went over to the side a little bit to give him room. And he wasn't there. He just completely disappeared, to the point where we stopped in the lay-by that was, you know, maybe 10 meters in front of this bend. And we both got out and looked behind the tree. Obviously, 1 a.m. as well. All the lights in the three cottages that were there, all the lights were off. So there was nowhere for this man to hide, especially in that time frame of maybe 10, 15 seconds. There was just nowhere for him to hide. It was almost like as soon as I dipped my full beams, it just disappeared. But
what was the weather doing? Was it what time of year was it? What was the weather doing?
I would say it was about this time, like October time, so autumn. It was kind of clear, but yeah, it was about 1 a.m, so it would have been pitch black because there was no street lights or anything either. It was like a country lane.
Yeah, I'm just wondering because, you know, there are cases out there where people have seen apparitions or witnessed apparitions where just before or just after a thunderstorm, when there's been a lot of electricity in the air and, you know, and sort of things have charged quite a bit. And I'm just wondering, you know, maybe you did go into like a little bit of a, you know, an atmospheric bubble and witness something that maybe happened 100 years ago or whatever. But you've had this unexplained thing happen in your life, right? What's your kind of response when someone comes up to you and you tell them a story? You go, well, it's all a load of rubbish, mate. You imagined it because there's no such thing as ghosts. What's your kind of response to that?
I always just think everyone's got their own personal stories and their own beliefs, and you know, if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. But I know the things that I've seen and the things that I've experienced and felt. I know they're real, and that's, to me, that's what's important, and I'm sure Pirate's the same.
Everybody's got a right to their own opinion.
Mm.
I think when you've lived through something like what I've lived through, it's there, man, you know?
Yeah.
If people don't want to believe it, then I just think just live in your own little closed-minded world. That's fine. You carry on your own little way.
So I'm going to ask you a question now. I'm interested to hear both of your responses. If you have got, you say about haunted houses and houses and places being haunted, we look at the fact that if there's been a traumatic event that's happened in an area and somebody has, you know, experiences after that, is it possible that we have got, as individuals, as human beings, that when we experience a traumatic event, that in some way, and I don't know how, but in some way, that we're able to imprint our final moments on that area for others in years to come, in the right kind of, in the right circumstances, for others to come along and experience that moment that happened all that time ago. Do you think that's possible?
Yes, I think so. I think it's all about energy.
What do you think the mechanism is behind that?
Forces we don't know, we can't understand.
I think you're touching on like the stone tape theory from
19th
century.
Well, okay, so yeah, Stone Tape. I love the Stone Tape stuff. I love two of my most fun things that I like to read about is Stone Tape stuff, which is, you know, some form of playback, and also EVP. I researched EVP for a number of years.
Isn't it the famous Gettysburg in America?
Gettysburg, yeah.
There's just ghosts constantly on repeat, just doing the same thing,
yeah,
the same trail.
People have seen apparitions there of Confederate and Union soldiers walking around and stuff like that, and they think that they think that they're kind of doing a reenactment. I mean, for example, I tell you another little short story. I went to a stately home castle when I was younger with the school, and I was stood in a room with a handful, we were getting a tour. There was no one else in the building. It was just like a school trip, and we're getting told about, you know, all the paintings on the walls and who lived here and who whatever, and we're like got our notepad or A4 sheet of paper and our board thing, we're writing it all down, and I look across the room and I see this geezer in period dress stood by the door, and as I look, he walks back out of the door, and I'm thinking, maybe they dress up, maybe he's going to serve our sandwiches dressed as a 14th century geezer or whatever. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm a kid. At the end of it, right, I asked the tour guide, who's the guy in the, you know, the get up with the frilly thing and the boots and that? Nobody else here, son. It's just us. Of course, I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know how to process that. I'm a kid, you know. I want to get home and watch Runaround. You know, I don't understand what's going on. I just put it down to like, oh, maybe I imagined it. And I think sometimes, do you think sometimes that when people experience stuff, that their kind of brain kicks in and goes, yeah, you imagine that. You imagine that real. Do you think?
I'll give you an example of somewhere near where I grew up. I grew up in a town called Ludlow, just outside the border of Wales in Shropshire, South Shropshire. And just outside of Ludlow, there's actually an old Roman camp. It's called Caenham Camp. It's a hill that's been flattened out into layers as it goes up, as the Romans used to do. They used to construct sort of fences and walls in various layers as you go up the hill. And then the actual camp at the top was where the legionaries and you know, the Roman army would set up. And you can walk up it. Just cross over the river at the bottom, and it's farmland, but the farmer doesn't mind it, you know. There's public walk like tracks going up there, and quite a few people I can remember have reported like hearing the sounds of the Roman legions, like blowing their horns and the actual army going around going about their business. I've been up there many times, I've never heard it myself, but I've heard plenty of reports of people being up there and hearing these noises, not knowing what the hell's going on. There's no one else up there, so who could it be?
Thing is, right, I was going to, before I get to Josh, I got a question for Josh, but before I jump over to Josh, regarding that kind of stuff, I find it interesting that when people talk about paranormal and seeing stuff, there are cases out there where people have said, oh, you know, I've saw an old man and he walked up the road and I see it, you know, lots of other people have seen him. And then after a while, you don't see the old man anymore, but you still hear him. You still hear the person walking up the road. I'm wondering whether this is an energy signature that over time, like a battery, it wears down. And like what you said with the Roman soldiers, you people that have these experiences, maybe it's an imprint. And over time, it's being played. And those signals get weaker and weaker and weaker. It's still there. It's still it's not necessarily something that's aware that you're there, but it's basically an imprint in the environment. I don't know. But what I was going to say to Josh was regarding ghosts and the paranormal and this kind of flipping it on its head a minute with, you know, with stuff like that. What do you think about when you have an experience and you maybe Ouija boards or some form of contact with the dead? What do you think that people, let's just say, right, for a minute, that it ain't grandma. It's not grandma you're talking to. So what could it possibly be if it ain't grandma? what is it that you might be contacting?
Well, we could get into different dimensions, portals, things like that.
Yeah.
My mum did a Ouija board when she was young, and she said never again, and she would never recommend anyone doing it.
So, what happened to her? What happened to her?
It was the usual thing where the house wasn't haunted or there wasn't anything particularly going on. And then her and her friends did a Ouija board one night. And then all of a sudden you've got cupboard doors opening by themselves, doors slamming, windows, taps turning themselves on and off. And I think she was had roommates, and I think eventually one by one they all moved house because it was going on, and they put the Ouija board back up into the attic and left it there, and they all moved house eventually. But she said she doesn't know what it was, but she opened she called it some sort of portal. She said she thought that something had entered the room and entered the house and just stayed there. But she couldn't explain it either. I've personally never done a Ouija board or anything like that. But to answer your question, I'm not too sure where it comes from or what it is. But I just think we don't understand space and time and stuff. And so it's all connected through energy and things. But I'm not too sure. I haven't got the answer.
Yeah, we don't know. A lot of people, like you say, when it's not grandma that's making contact... A lot, and it does seem to be malevolent rather than a benevolent spirit. A lot of people, or you know, particularly sort of religious types, will direct that to say, and say, "Oh, it's a."
I used to love my morning coffee until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort—it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale, and there's no better time to score big savings on unforgettable gifts. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site wide and an extra 20% off select packages at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Demon, you've allowed a demon in. I'm not going to necessarily point fingers like that, but I do think that sometimes through like Ouija boards and whatnot, you've kind of opened up a doorway, and it's not necessarily going to go back through it when you finish your Ouija board.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Because there are plenty of stories where people haven't had hauntings, and then they've done something like a Ouija board, and then, like you say, it does continue for on and on and on, and then they don't know how to get rid of it. But it isn't grandma.
There's a question for both of you. Are demons, like, do you have to be religious to believe in demons? Is that just me, or...?
When you say demons, right, with the word demon has been used in so many different ways. There are religious connotations to it. In all religions, they have, you know, their demons, and they all go by different names. Angry little things that want to cause you, upset and bad luck. As to how they play a part in the modern world, in our modern understanding of the paranormal, problem is, right, it's been used, the word has been used so much now. You say demons to me, right? If you say demons to me, I immediately, do you know what? And I don't mean this disrespectfully, Mr. Bagans, if you're listening, but you say demons and Zach's face appears in front of me. And I think of Ghost Adventures because everything was a demon, you know, or I think of Most Haunted or stuff like that. So it's kind of got that connotation where you literally think of a ghost show. And it's kind of like, I think that when you think of in terms of, when you say demon, I think that you're stepping into a religious kind of bubble there, and you have to be whether you put it this way, whether you think it's a lot of old nothing, a load of old chuff or not, I still think that you have to have a certain amount of respect. It's like when you don't have to be a religious person to go into a church, right? But at least when you go in a church, even if you think it's a load of old nonsense, you still got to be a little bit respectful. You just don't go in and go, no, it's a load of, oh, yeah, I know, or read the book, yeah, you know? Yeah, so right. you would still have to be, I mean, I would say, right, when it comes to religion, hey, I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence on most things because I like to be as open-minded as possible, you know? But, I mean, I think that going and visiting, like, cathedrals and churches, I find the architecture fascinating. Yeah. And another thing I find fascinating is the history in those buildings. When you go to a church and you think, God, this is all like many, many years old and stuff's been going on. But it's all about being a little bit respectful. But as for the whole demon thing, I don't know.
It runs around, isn't it? In paranormal like researchers and stuff, whenever they come across something that is or does seem to be a bit malevolent, it's like, oh, it's a demon. Not necessarily. I think that like, If I was a ghost and someone came into my house and started asking me to respond to them, you might be a bit playful or you might be a bit like, well, no, I don't really want you here. Even though I don't consider myself a demon, I might try and make them frightened or something. You could be annoyed just as a normal person, can't you?
Yeah.
An annoyed response. So why do we automatically associate that kind of negative behavior with like demonic responses or anything like that? Like you say, that is a very religious term anyway, but you can't necessarily nail down something as necessarily good or bad or evil or whatever just on the response that you get at the time. Because different people at different times might get different responses.
Moving swiftly away from demons, because you never know. I was going to ask you, have you got any plans in the future to do like any sort of vigils or anything like that when it comes to, I know your podcast, you cover an awful lot of different things, but have you got any interest in maybe going to sort of a place where something happened and maybe doing an overnight or something and doing a podcast from that location?
We have been invited before now. We've had listeners of ours literally offer us free tickets to these paranormal events. Unfortunately, because of our job at the moment, me and Josh kind of aren't able to sort of cohabit too much at the weekends because one of us is always at work. We work on a farm, and one of us is always responsible for the farm. Either weekend, we do alternatives weekends. That might be changing soon because of the way the farms run. So we might entertain that in the future, but at the moment, it's just kind of not possible for us.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's like when you have a job and you have to make a living, it does have a bit of an impact where you want to do stuff, go out and do like an investigation or whatever. I mean, I haven't been out for a long time. I used to, when I was younger, go out and do stuff, and it was great fun. But it's all about it's kind of finding somewhere that's local, that has a history, and that you can go into it, and also go into it with people that are like-minded, but not too many people. I've been invited to go on to a few organized, what I call organized ghost hunts or organized vigils, but the problem is it's got like 12 or 15 people, and I feel that if a premise is going to have that many people, it's got to be big enough to so you can all spread out and do your own thing, because it's going to be, there's too much chance of contamination from other people making a noise or chatting or whatever, and you can get false positives and stuff like that. So I would like to do something like that in the future. I always say this is going to be this year, I'm going to do something. But it's, then work comes and you got to pay the bills, and it kind of spoils everything. But moving on a little bit, because we are rattling through this episode, I was going to ask you, when it comes to the paranormal in the sense of what we touched on earlier, actually, things like time slips and stuff, what do you think is going on at play there? Do you think that the individuals that are experiencing those moments in time, do you think that they actually are slipping back in time, or do you think that they are slipping into a moment that already exists in parallel with our current time? What do you think's happening?
That is a very good question. I did the episode on time slip, so I know you're looking at me to answer that. It's a difficult one. So many people have just had the sort of miniature time slips, where it's just like a few seconds or whatever.
Yeah.
You say it's just like this fleeting glance of something that where they're not sure exactly what's happened. I think in the case of the, is it the Bold Street Liverpool time slips?
Yep.
The guy that was chased down the street by the security guard because he was shoplifting.
Shoplifter, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that story?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's got a very good case because he really did go into quite a lot of detail, and the even security guard said that he actually disappeared.
Yeah, that's right.
He chased him down an alley, and the guy just disappeared in front of him.
But to the guy, he just appeared like normal at the other end over the wall. And it affected him so much that it kind of like messed with his head.
Yeah.
Bonkers.
Yeah, and he had to go and like jump on the bus and get away from there because it freaked him out so much. And I think that's a very plausible story.
Yeah.
So what do you think might be actually happening then? What do you think the mechanism might be before, you know, you go out somewhere and then everything's normal and then all of a sudden you're in the same place but in a different, clearly a different environment. What do you think the mechanism might be happening there?
Well, that's a very good question. And we're getting into time-space dilation, really, aren't we?
Dimension.
It could be something as strange as a primordial black hole passing close to the planet that has altered literally time and space around a singular sort of area that has caused that. It could be someone who has literally just picked up a sensitivity to a time gone by, like you said about the stone tapes kind of thing, you know, where rather than just like seeing like an apparition or something, they've literally been fully immersed in it and are literally living that in that time. There are multiple explanations for it, but nothing that I could actually nail down as something that I could say, yes, that is the one thing that I think causes it.
So I have this kind of theory, and it's not completely original to me. I don't have whole rights on it. I just have I've picked all the best bits and made up a you know, an idea. That might be.
Shakespeare said every good artist steals from other.
Yeah, we'll put it this way, right? I'm going to call it the you know, I've called it this before, the washing line theory. So a lady goes out, right, and she hangs all her bed sheets on the washing line, and all of those bed sheets are blowing in the wind, and each one of those bed sheets is one of our worlds, it's one of our existences, it's one of our, you know, parallel dimensions, whatever you want to call it, the many worlds theory, where everything, you know, there's an infinite number of us talking about this, and everyone is slightly different. I might be slightly different. I might actually be quite rich in one of them, you know. But
dimensions, yeah,
yeah. So all this washing is blowing, and now and again, one of those sheets and another one touch together, and they create a connection. So those two different planes of existence now are connected by a bridge. And if you happen to be in that area where those two bits touch, you then are able to experience whatever it might be. It might be a past event, likely, because, you know, future events haven't happened yet. So it would more likely be a past event. But if it was a future event, which is possible because those events have happened in time slips before, then that would mean, in a way, that things are predestined. That means that our future is already being told. And, you know, it depends on the path we take. Because there is a case where the pilot was flying over on his way back, and he looked down and he saw the hangars, and he saw the planes all painted different colours, and the people walking around with different uniforms on. And he was like, that's not right. They're all they're all wrong. Well, what's going on? It wasn't until many, many years later that the RAF changed all the colours of the planes to those colours that he was talking about. So did he see a future event? Did he see something that, did he fly over somewhere and see something of a future event? You know, who knows? I don't know. But maybe, maybe we are able to experience for a fleeting moment something that happened a long time ago, or as an event that may happen in the future, which opens up another can of worms. And the weird thing is, when we talk about stuff like that, I'll tell you a quick story. I've told this before. They're going to go, oh, no, not on Neville Reef, shut up. But here's another one. A friend of mine I used to work with, when she was a kid in the late 60s, early 70s, late 60s, she used to go, like we all did, and don't deny it, because you did it as well, playing over building sites in houses that are half built,
yeah.
You know, playing hide and seek. She was going over the building site, and she was playing with her friends, playing hide and seek. She went into this one house, which was literally just a frame of a house. It was nothing inside. It was all like just the basics. She had stairs in there. She came down. She was hiding, and her friends were like looking for her. And she thought, "Oh, I'll give up. I'll come out." She walked out of the house into the kitchen area. There are no doors in there. It's all open. No, all the windows and that. She walked into the kitchen. This is going to sound wacky. This is going to sound bonkers. She tells me, completely straight face, she said, I come downstairs, Reeves. I walked into the kitchen. I could see my friends out of the window and out of the doorway looking for me, shouting for me. I was just about to shout for them when I noticed this geezer in the kitchen, stood there looking at me. I said, yeah, well, just the tramp. He's you know, it's been raining or whatever, and he wants to go and have a little bit of a lie down. And he go, no. She goes, no. You don't get it. I saw this geezer. He was a Viking. He had all the robes on. He had a hat on. And I'm like, okay, you're just getting stupid now. You're just taking me for a mug. And she's like, no. I saw this Viking bloke, and he was stood in the kitchen looking at me, motionless. And I looked to my mate, and I shouted my mate, and I looked back, and he was gone. What did she see? Did she imagine that? Don't you think?
I've more interest in that way anyway, that we don't know the answers to everything. Yeah. But it'd be boring if we did, wouldn't it?
Do you think that... do you think that... How can I put this? I want to word it in such a way that it's not kind of... it doesn't sort of mislead in any way. For example, you've both had paranormal experiences. Do you feel in a way that they have in any way sort of influenced you to do your podcast, to sort of look into the paranormal in a more in-depth way than if, you know, some people, they'll have an experience, they go, oh yeah, it was a hedgehog or whatever. And then they go on with their life. Do you feel that it was for you, when you had an experience, that it was a trigger and it kind of pushed you in a particular direction?
I think it influences me in a way that I wouldn't say that I'm qualified or anything, but I feel like it gives me this edge on whether I think something actually is genuine or not. It's difficult. It's definitely influenced us into doing our podcast, definitely, because we both have an interest in this thing.
Yeah.
And like I say, it all started out with us just watching videos. And going, what about this one, pirate? What do you reckon of this one? I'll be, nah, it's easy to fake, you know, stuff like that. But
that still happens now.
It still happens now, but sometimes we do. I openly admit I don't know how that was done, you know, and then we take it from there. And yeah, it definitely influences it. And I think that, it definitely influences your mindset on how you look upon the world, just in general, I think.
And what about you, Josh?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think
it has started opening up your mind lately. The story you told me the other day, because Josh has recently moved house.
Yeah.
Before we moved in there, I knew the bloke that moved in, that lived by beforehand, and he claimed it was haunted.
Mm.
but several other people said it wasn't. So Josh didn't want to believe that it was haunted until something happened to him the other day. Do you want to tell him?
Yeah. So I'd heard noises. I like to go down like the logical route first.
Yeah.
I've always had that frame of mind where something happens, you hear a noise, you see something out of the corner of your eye, and my brain goes to logic. So I've only just moved into this house. We're on week 3 now.
Yeah.
Right. And the first week and things, I was trying to work out the heating and stuff. So I was hearing noises, but I was debunking it as I was hearing these noises, and I was seeing some things, and I was just kind of, no, it's not haunted. It's this, it's that. The only thing that happened literally a few days ago that I cannot explain is I got up in the middle of the night at about 3 in the morning to go to the loo. And when it's late at night and it's pitch black, I've got no shame to admit that I may sit down to wee. Do you know what I'm going to say? I'm just sat there and it's silent. And I can only describe what I heard as maybe 3 or 4 footsteps going down the stairs. So I've called my wife's name, not heard a response. So then, you know, finish my business, go up the stairs, and she's fast asleep because it's obviously 3 in the morning. And I did 100%, there was some sort of like little tapping of footsteps. And that was the first time where I thought, okay, this is what the guy was talking about, where this house could be potentially haunted, or there's something there. I'm not too sure. I'll tell you the story of the guy that lived there beforehand, because Josh has moved into a farmhouse on the farm.
Okay.
Working. And the guy that lived there beforehand was a guy that I worked very closely with for about 3 years, and he had very young children in the house.
Right.
And several times he'd find his children just talking randomly to seemingly no one. And you go down and you go, who are you talking to? And his daughter would go, oh, the man. And you go, what man? And she'd turn around and then look back at him and go, oh, it's gone now. And just carrying on what she was doing. And you're freaking out because he didn't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I had a friend years ago when I was a little kid. He had an imaginary friend, and he went everywhere with us. We used to go, like, as you most probably did as well. You go off with your mates and go on an adventure, and you go on like an explore to like a, I don't know, an abandoned house that apparently has got a ghost of an old man in it. And you would go, and we're going to go there today. Got me sandwiches, got me Monster Munch, got me a Pepsi. And off you went. And this kid would go with us, and he would be, oh, he's coming with us, and he's over there. And we couldn't see him, and he would have conversations with him, and he would get really angry that we couldn't see him. And he said, he's there. He's stood there. We don't see nothing. We don't know. We can't see him. And and then all of a sudden one day he just stopped talking about him. Like he wasn't there, you know, he wasn't there anymore. So yeah, I can attest to what you've just said about children speaking to people that seemingly aren't there. Maybe they are. Maybe they are seeing something. Maybe their young minds haven't been polluted with the wicked worldly ways yet.
Yeah.
So they're still open. But anyway, so I think we've come to the end of this episode, but I was going to ask you before you toodle on, is what are your projects? What are your ideas? You know, what have you got planned for your rapidly growing podcast at the moment? Have you got anything Halloween or for Christmas? What you got stewing?
Well, I don't know when your episode coming out, but we've already recorded our Halloween special.
Yeah, we've got a creature feature. Yeah,
it's a creature feature. it is a breakdown, I guess, of a, I'm not going to say who, but a classic monster. You can check that one out for yourselves. If it hasn't come out yet, it'll be out on the 28th of October. Yeah, we'll just roll on week by week, every Monday, new podcast, new subject. We've got some interesting ones.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for 2 years for Josh to do Bigfoot,
mm-hmm.
Which he may or may not do sometime soon.
Yeah.
But we try and mix it up a little bit. Sometimes we'll do UFO one, sometimes we'll do ghosty story one, sometimes it's just a random mystery. Josh loves his conspiracy theories.
I love a good conspiracy theory.
I like digging into different like science and physics related topics that are mind boggling. And we just keep finding little subjects that we can. And in fact, and we should invite you onto our podcast, since you were so kind to invite us onto yours. You should come on and like from that list that you sent us of maybe some talk.
Oh, yeah.
Interested in these space ants.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of the ants that went up to where I asked.
No,
but I've not heard of actual outer space ants. So maybe you should come on and tell us about those.
Yeah, I find that fascinating, where everybody goes around going, oh no, the Space Brothers, they're advanced humans that maybe they're not. Maybe they're like insects that have evolved to the point where they can build spaceships, and now they've come to say hello. Maybe.
If there's some giant interstellar ants from Zeta Reticuli, I want you to come on and tell us about them.
Oh, I'd love to. That will be I look forward to that. Yeah, because I can, I go waffle my arse off, basically. my listeners know that they just know that I'm always going on tangents. I'll talk about one thing and then think, oh, that interests me, let's talk about this. So sometimes that's the best way with a conversation, is just to talk about what just the flow, whatever's flowing, go with it. And rather than just saying we have to talk about this, we have to talk about that, you just talk about whatever you want, just whatever, as long as it's thereabouts. You don't want to suddenly veer off and talk about, all sorts of stuff, for cars or movies, movies. I got loads of I'm a bit of a movie sci-fi buff. I love sci-fi. So, yeah, I love all that stuff. I love all those classic 80s sci-fis. I mean, obviously, Star Wars fan and all that. But, well, within reason. There's only 3 Star Wars films, okay? Let's just say that.
You were at the original three, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I was there, 1977, outside the Odeon. I was there, little kid looking up at that poster thinking, this looks amazing. Look at that. It's amazing. Why's that man got a big black mask on? What's that hairy big bear thing? But yeah, things like that, and also the black hole and stuff like that. I love all those kind of films. But we're completely off a tangent. It's nothing to do with the paranormal. Do you know what I mean? Anyway.
All day.
Star Wars stories, love it. I love that sort of stuff. But anyway, we'll keep that. We'll keep that for another day. But anyway, guys. So I want to say, have you got just before we disappear? Have you got a Patreon or anything like that? People can go and support you.
Yeah, we do have Patreon. Yeah, look it up, Paranormality UK. But we encourage people to just come and listen to the podcast before you want to donate money to us. Or
anything. Yeah, no. I'll make sure that I get it listed in the show notes, so that people can, if they enjoy what you do, then they can go and give you a little tip. Every little penny helps.
And we have the audio podcast. Go and check us out before you want to subscribe to any kind of monetary commitment. But we're always happy to receive more listeners.
Good. All right, guys. Well, thank you, Pirate, and thank you, Josh, for joining me on this episode of Paratalk. And yes, I will quite happily take you up on your offer. And I'm sure before the end of the year, you'll be back, I expect, and we'll talk about something else. But it's been great talking to you. And thank you to everybody that has listened to the end and put up with my benign waffling, because I too turned to go off on tangents. Remember to like and share wherever you're able to, and give us a little bit of a review. And until the next episode, speak to you soon.
is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinner time favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information. With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.